Good morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio, KMAN. Pleased to be joined here this morning by a couple of guests from the Manhattan Public Library. We have Linda Knupp, the library director. Linda, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And we also have Maddie Ogle, who is the public relations director at the library. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to bring you on. I know the library's been closed for quite some time, and so a lot of people are curious as to when things will kind of get back to the way they were before. So let's talk about what the library is doing currently during this pandemic.
Well, we've been preparing for that reopening, working from home and essential staff in the building to handle things. But we'll be planning our reopening beginning somewhat next week in phases, according to the governor's plan for Ad Astra, and we're going to be walking through it. Our library really is a community hub and serves the region, so we have a lot of activity. Normally, over 1,000 people come through this building every day, and 2,000 items are checked out on average per day, and as many as are returned. So we've had to do some creative thinking and rethink our logistics about how to manage during this time.
Yeah, no question about it, and I know that people look forward to going out to the library, and I know that there have been some remote ways people can still check things out.
Yeah, and so that's been really our biggest goal right now while we've been closed, as we know that a lot of other things have also been closed, and so people are, you know, seeking things that can fulfill their time, and so that's something that especially our collection services staff has been working on, is trying to get people aware of all the online resources we have while also adding an additional title so that people don't have to wait as long. This is an example from like Sunflower eLibrary. Another option that we've also been looking towards is our programmers have been working hard to develop online story time. And so we're really trying to do everything we can as a team to come together and show the community that even though our doors may not be open, we still are wanting to connect and engage on the level that we would if we were at the library.
Brandon, you can almost think of it as that we have a digital branch that's open 24/7 with the number of resources we have.
Yeah, no question. And my family's utilized that quite a bit here during the last couple months, and it's been great to be able to access some media and books. We can check out ebooks, and so it works pretty well, I think. So kudos to you guys for having that set up, because it's a great community service. As far as the reopening plan itself, so it'll start, next week, beginning on Monday?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a phased approach, and the reason for that, I'm sure, in talking with a lot of the business owners here in town, is you want to have as much caution. You don't want to have a repeat of this.
That's right. So next week, a lot of people have asked about when they can return books they currently have checked out into our book drop. And we'll open our book drop up by the west side, which is located next to the building, next Monday. So they can start to bring those books back. But they don't have to bring them all back at once. You know, that would be a lot of returns at once. So in phases is fine. We're not going to be charging any overdue fines during that period. So not to worry about that. Just bring them back as soon as you can.
And I see that book drop will be quarantined for 72 hours. And why is that?
Well, that's the best information we have right now from the CDC about how long the virus can live on plastic. And the CDC says virus can live on paper maybe for 24 hours is the current thinking at this time. But remember, all these books have a plastic jacket, too, so we want to use extra caution with that quarantine. And we're also waiting on some tests that the Institute of Museums and Library Services is conducting specifically on library materials. So we're going to set those things aside for 72 hours before we handle them, before we put them back into circulation to go out to the next user for safety.
Okay. And I know a few weeks ago there was a release sent out about people who can get e-cards, and it looks like after May 18th they'll be able to get their physical card then.
Yes. So that's the exciting thing is, we had obviously all of our library card holders that were ready to use our online resources once we actually had to close. But we also had community members out there that we really wanted to reach during this time and get people to have a library card. And so to date, we have at least 200 new card holders here at the library due to this project. But yes, if you have fill out the online application, have been using your new online library card, you can come get the physical one by appointment. So we are excited to see some of those faces in person when they come get the physical item.
Gotcha. Well, and a lot of that, a lot of stuff will, it sounds like, will be by appointment. When will you guys be able to open the doors all the way where people can come back kind of more similar to what they're used to?
We're going to work through the plan according to the governor's phased approach. And if everything goes well, we'll see what kind of access we can provide later in June to the public. Right now, it's a little bit hard to say. And even the governor's plan has a number of limited people in a building or in an area per square foot at one time. So we're going to be watching and waiting for that information in the weeks ahead. We'd love to get back to normal.
Love
as possible.
To. Yes.
We've been working harder than ever to reroute services and do things different. It'd be so much easier to open the doors. But we also want to make sure that that we're considering the safety of the community and of our patients and of our staff before that happens. And so we're looking for that information in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense because you do have a kind of a large population that will come to the library, and I don't know how many people you have in the building usually on an average, but a lot of kids like to come there and spend some time for a while, and their safety is obviously of utmost concern.
Absolutely, yeah. An average of 1,000 people pass through this building each day, so that's quite a few people in a limited period of time. And it is a community center. We have lots of people that meet in groups here. We have the program activities, so you can see that it really exceeds the limits of what's recommended in the plans for right now, groups of 10 up to 90 and then past that. So we'll just have to see how that moves forward. But in the meantime, we really are, trying to get books back in the hand. I think that's the most recommended, the most requested service that people have asked for, is they really still miss their physical books. We've had a huge increase in the ebook resources and some of our newer databases, but people still miss having a book in their hand. So by June 1st, they will see the option to do a carryout book service where they can put a book on hold, reserve a time for pickup, and come and collect a physical item still.
Okay, awesome. Well, and I know one thing with school getting out here, the last day of school in Manhattan is May 12th, or May 13th, which is today. And summer reading program is a very popular program at the library. How is that changing here this summer?
Yes. You can see me smiling. And it really is going to change just because it's not going to be in person. But that doesn't mean that summer reading isn't happening. Like I mentioned before, our programmers have been working really hard to plan programs that, engage all ages, so not just kids. This is a plug that summer reading is for everyone. And so, even though it's going to be online, we're still going to have our summer story times. We're going to have our kids' summer clubs. Grace, our teen zone coordinator, has been working on some special programs for our teens. And then we're going to even get some book chats with one of our adult librarians for adults only. And so, we have a wide variety of programming that's going to be happening. But I think, the biggest message I can say is we're really taking it back to its roots of summer reading. We want to encourage everyone to sign up, start reading, and help us beat our goal, because we're going to set a high goal this year since we are going to have to spend a lot of time probably just still doing some social distancing and keeping safe in that manner. So, I would say just sign up, and read as much as you can and help us beat our goal.
And earn prizes. Kids will still be able to sign up online and earn prizes, and we'll have times when they can come and collect those prizes as well.
Great. Well, that's great. Well, in all this, I know there's been a lot of learning going on, kind of on the fly for a lot of folks. But it does look like maybe one benefit that's come out of all this is you are seeing quite a few people getting those library cards. What, about 200 that have been issued?
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, Brandon, it truly is. This time has been difficult on everyone, but it's really cool to see, not just even in the library's perspective, but just even myself looking on social media to see the positivity around, you know, how our community comes together to support local businesses and other entities. And I know that these times are very difficult, but every time that we, you know, post something about the library's update or trying to keep people informed, we really appreciate all the positivity and the encouragement, because that helps us, because we are over here really trying to work hard to get systems in place so we can go to the new normal whenever that's possible. So it's been really cool to see and sit from the background and see how our community really does support and use its local library.
Yeah. Well, it's great that we have all these resources here that we can access remotely. Is there anything else I haven't mentioned you want to get across here today?
Well, I would just encourage people to visit our website. Look at the wealth of online resources that are offered, whether that's a digital downloads, which are ebooks, audiobooks, streaming video. And more recently, we added two new online resources. One is called Creative Bug, which is so much fun. And we'll be using that in some of our programming too. There's all kinds of tutorials and lessons if you're a creative person and want to learn to paint, draw, crochet, knit, do paper crafts, so many things. And then thanks to the 1998 Jack Goldstein Charitable Trust, we were able to purchase a subscription to an incredible online learning database called lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A. And I think there's a lot of people out there who are familiar with it, but if they're not, you just need to give it a look. There's so much, especially in this time when we're all learning new skills with technology. It ranges from everything about Zoom meetings to starting a spreadsheet to more high-tech ends if you're a creative professional, if you're a programmer. There's some things on classroom management, on business management, and other creative endeavors, and it's really incredible the things you can learn on there. You kind of think about how we used to always look for nonfiction books for instruction, and now we can turn to some of these online resources for quality and timely and current instruction as well as we need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all great stuff, and we're looking forward to being able to get back and get in the library, and a lot of folks are. And we sure appreciate getting the update here today. And mhklibrary.org is the website. Lynda Knupp and Maddie Ogle, our guests, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. We miss everybody, too.